Good morning. Again, I'm going to try to talk loud enough to be heard. Maybe Steve's got the sound turned up. Mike seems like he does. That's good. I know my voice has weakened over the years, and it really is. It just doesn't have the crispness it used to. It kind of fuzzy or foggy or something. My wife continually tells me, I can't hear what you're saying. And so my goal is that Gene will be able to hear me say whatever I say today, good or bad. Glad you're here. So glad. Good to be God's people. We're not all here. Some of us are not. Quite a number of us are not. But we're still us, wherever we're located. We got some back. Larry from wandering up and down the beaches of Hawaii. We've got the campers back, camping people, staff, tired but back. And that's good. Good things are happening all around, and we are blessed people. We do have times, and I think from Mike's standpoint and mine, we talk to a lot of people, and we're at a time period when you get these seasons where it's kind of a tidal wave of Satan saying, okay, I'm going to attack. And he does everything he can to discourage the people of God. Just one problem for him. We have a champion bigger than him. And he's taking on an impossible task. People of God can't be brought down. Take away everything they have, as per Job. Take away even their life. And they march into the presence of God. Victorious. Happy. With eternity in prospect. What a God. I need them. I suggest we do all. Glad you're here to just worship him totally. We have so many things as God's people to be concerned about, certainly. We have to live here in this place for a while, this sin-troubled, disease-troubled, life-problems-troubled environment. But we do it together. We lend strength to each other. That's who we are supposed to be. Encourage one another. Build one another up. Thank you, Lord, for that advice. Help us to take it. Take it to the full. Little Paxton, I doubt there's anyone here who knows whose heart doesn't cradle that little guy, his family, his dear family. Maybe it's appropriate. Mike does this all the time. I probably should. Let's just stop and pray right now. And let it be a launching start button, if we haven't started to the full already, for God's people praying. Paxton, Paul, and all the others that are on our list, and there are many. A sister in Christ, Lil Law, who sits in her little tiny room all alone. Now, so many people to care about, to be there for. Let's just pray. Bow with me. Father, we do so love you. Thank you for being God, who is the same yesterday, today, forever, to whom we can come, both with our praise, O Lord, and then with those problems and heartaches and burdens that are so much bigger than us, and just find you to be same, loving, receptive, caring, gentle, helping, healing God that you've always been and will ever be. Thank you, God, for being just that, whose love never changes, whose oversight is never missing, and whose care is the very lifeblood of our spirits. Thank you, Father. Bless us while we assemble to praise you for being that God here today. And may it happen that you get praised as you so deserve. We love you, Father. Thank you for hearing. We offer this to you totally in the merit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk to us today about something that is a huge issue. I know it is. It's a biblical issue, which makes it big, huge, all of the attention we can give it deserves. But I just start out by saying, I'm already glad and blessed about the focal point of that issue that I'm going to bring up. And the word you is used here plurally, collectively, including me. Who you are. That's what I'm going to be talking about. Who you are. I want you to think about it. I want to think about it. I already have. I've spent some time on this lesson. Could have spent more. There are other lessons that could be related to it and maybe will. Who you are is an issue with God. And then who we are collectively, an issue for all of us, an important issue, one worth me looking at it, weighing it, and saying, how blessed I am. What an opportunity to be a blessing to others around me that need the best who I am to be who I am. Not what do you look like? There is one mammoth satanic deception. That's not who I am. I get reminded of that. I was reminded of that by somebody over here today. I'm glad you got your wife with you, because it looks better over there when she's here. What you look like, that's not who you are. Not who I am. What do people think about you? Well, that's nice to have some of that, if they think nice. It's not necessarily who I am or who you are. It's just not. How smart are you? How intellectual are you? That's certainly not who I am. Not who you are either. I don't care how intellectual you think you are. It's not who you are. Not even does my reputation here have any flaws. Well, my reputation implies that somebody knows. So my reputation is probably a lot better than I am. It's not who I am. It's not who I am because of the grace of my God. Because of His sin-covering blood and love, who I am can be a total change, turnaround, new start, new beginning person every day that He gives me to get up and walk on His planet. Who I am doesn't have to be who I was yesterday or in the past. What a God. Who are you? Do answers, if I would answer that question for myself, that would bring up words like pure, honest, selfless, caring, bother me a little when I apply them back to here? If they do, it just means, Earl, there's some work to do. And there is. There always is work to do. Old Paul wrote about himself. I'm glad he did. I have an idea that John Newton, when he wrote the song Amazing Grace, brought one of the words from this scripture. Wretched man that I am. I am. There's that am, the verb to be. Eimi in Greek. It is over and over used in your Bible, your scripture, about you and me and everybody. Wretched man that I am. That's who I am, Paul said. Who'll deliver me from this body of death? We live in earthly bodies that really deceive, lead us in the wrong direction all the time. Paul said, I want out. I want out. Who'll deliver me? And then he answers his own question. Thank God. Through Jesus Christ, there's my way out. He'll get me out of this wretched person that I am. And then John Newton writes, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch. Like me. That old song has just printed itself inside the soul and spirit of everybody who has one that's still alive and active. Because we know, we identify. When I really evaluate and look at who I am and look at my history, Lord, thank you for being a God of new beginnings. We'll start all over, clean. Don't ever doubt that this is a biblical topic. 1 John chapter 3, which I love uplifting verses, where God tells me who I am, who you are. If you belong to Him, see what love. Do I have that up there? I don't know what I've got up there. My slides are probably all... That's not what I want. Mike does so well with slides. I do so lousy. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. We should be called children of God because that's who we are. And then John says, and so we are. There's that to be verb. We are children of God. That's who you are. The reason the world doesn't know us, and it doesn't, if it knows you very well, you got a problem. Because you're identifying with it. And that messes up that to be verb right there. The reason the world doesn't know us is because it doesn't know Him. And we are His. We're His children. It can't know His children. They're a different kind of people than them out there. Beloved, we are God's children now. And so who you are, that's it. He just nailed it. John did, and in a verse that if you really digest it into who you are, you just have to say, wow, that's who I am. I think I'll be happy today. That's who I am. What a God. You have received, Paul wrote to the Romans, in Rome, wicked city. You have received the spirit of sonship. These are Christians there. You're a child. You could say daughtership there. It's the same thing. You have received the spirit of childship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit. Two spirits. God's spirit is in there. My spirit is in there. And God's spirit is saying to my spirit, you're a child of God. They're agreeing. And it's a happy thing. And if you're children, then you are heirs. That points to the future. What's coming for God's children, for me, for us, who are who we are? What's coming? Well, we're fellow heirs, joint heirs. It means we're going to inherit exactly with Jesus as He inherits in the eternity that is to come. I have no way to put a description on that. I am not smart enough. I just know it is grand and good and beautiful and precious beyond anything that can be put into human language. That's how good it is. That's who we are. And the Bible says that. God wants us to know that. If we have that, we're not going to just fritter it away and let it go loose and escape us very easily. Satan won't be able to take it away. We'll value it too highly. You ain't getting it, Satan. I want to keep who I am. God gave me something so precious. His heir, His child. You can't have it. I'm going to protect it. Guard it. Famous verb to be. Means that the English words are. Am, I am, is. Definition of verb is. Who we are is threatened daily by satanic snares, traps. They're out there. They're scattered everywhere. We get to the point where we live in a culture where we don't even see it. Oh, it's just normal. It's just normal stuff. It's just the way it is in this culture. It isn't normal. It's abnormal. It's evil. Its intent is to pull you down, to ruin your place with your God as His child, where you are not that anymore. He can. He will. And He baits them so well. Deceptive. You don't know it's bait. It just looks good. So you go for it. A snare. The Greek word is pagis. P in English, P-A-G-I-S. That's pi, alpha, gamma, iota, sigma. Pagis is the Greek word. In the days when I was back on the farm, we had something that was used by some farmers, and I'm proud of my daddy, he never did. He loved animals, he wouldn't do it. We had something called a steel trap. It is a mean device. There are some that's just a plain steel trap. That's kind of like the ones we had. There are some ugly ones. I went on Google image steel trap. You'll find some things there that'll just make you, cause you to just want to turn it off. It's too bad. They got teeth in them even, where they grab an animal's foot or ankle in a tooth and he can't get loose. You can't release that thing. This gadget here is a spring loaded, and once it's up there, it's never going to come down and it can't be opened. You got to press that back down to open the thing. An animal can't do that. He's caught. He can't get away. And it's nailed or eye-bolted to a tree or something. He can't get loose. He's caught. Well, how does he get in there? They aren't just laying out to where you just accidentally stepped into it. There's a treadle right there in the middle. When he hits that treadle in the middle, bang, it comes closed. But what you do, you see, you put it under a tree. It has a limb, and you hang a rope, and you get some real heavy cord, and you tie, you go to, well, some of this is too depictive to probably say, we cured our food in the smokehouse, especially our pork hams. You just go out to that ham, and the outside of the ham, it ain't pretty. It hangs in there being smoked, and after a month or two, it turns green on the outside. I mean, it can't spoil the meat, but the outside, and you just slice off some of that outside. I had to slice it off anyway before Mom could use it, but you slice off some of that outside. It still has all the smell. You hang it to that rope right over that trap. And any animal that comes along, he's, wow, that smells good. And, I think I'll have it. And he's just trumping around there trying to reach it. And he steps right in that trap and he's caught. Baited and caught. He didn't know it was a trap. It just looked good. What a perfect image. What a perfect figurative language for what Satan does. And he hangs them out there everywhere, waiting for your foot to go in it, and you won't get loose. You don't get loose from that unless a Savior comes, some kind of Savior. And that's going to bring up my next point. Somebody's got to push that thing down and release that trap, or you will not get out. You'll never get out. We had a neighbor out there. Oh boy. Somebody, that clock's, when I'm up here, it just runs way faster. We had a neighbor by the name of Charlie Hamner. He was unusual. Charlie didn't like people. Charlie's life theme was, leave me alone. I don't need you. He loved animals. Built on an old farm. Sharecropper, just like we were. The neighbors used to use steel traps. Catch all kind of animals. Some got rid of them so they didn't go into the crops and do whatever. Or some of them, they would maybe eat or whatever. Charlie would go out, find these steel traps. And if there was nothing in them, he'd just take a stick and spring them. Or if there was something in them, Charlie would get it out. He had what was called a cinch bag back then. It was made out of burlap, heavy burlap. And he had that thing rigged to where he could throw it over an animal and just cinch it up tight where the animal could hardly move. And then he'd go with an immovable animal and he'd free it and then turn it loose. I went around to his house one time. He had a daughter who I had a crush on. I was 10 or 11. She was about 14. I went over there quite a lot. Had a son about my age, we played. But I found out Charlie had gone out to get one of these animals out of a trap and it had just bit his arm all the way up and down. He had bandages all over his arm where he'd gotten bitten. Scratched. But he got it out. How like our Lord is that? Getting us out of the trap, costing all of the pictures we've seen that I put up here, Mike has, of him bleeding and dying, being scourged and beaten, bloody till I don't know how he was alive, and then spending 6 hours nailed up. How like that? Suffering to get us out of the trap. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And my main point for all this and the story is Jesus, like old Charlie, is still freeing trapped people, trapped animals, trapped dummies who took the bait. He's still freeing them, still doing it. Jesus said to some people, I got that up there in the negative pack. I think I got it. Maybe. Yeah. I say to you, Jesus said, everyone who practices sin, who takes the bait, is a slave. He's caught. He can't get free. He can't anymore get free than the people of Israel could get out of Israel. They didn't have any army. They didn't have any weapons. They had taskmasters. They faced all the power. They can't get out unless someone frees them. And so God saw to it with Moses. Got them out. They didn't appreciate it very well. But he did. And then Jesus said, if the Son of Man sets you free, you'll be free indeed. You'll really be free. You don't have to drag that garbage with you anymore. You don't have to have yourself caught in a sin trap. You can't get, how do I get out? Oh, if I get out, it's going to cost me. Family problems, work problems, problems everywhere. If I get out of this, I got to keep the trap. I
fear the result of getting out of the trap more than staying in it. And so you just stay because you can't get free.
But if he frees you, you'll be free. I used to trap raccoons. I still can. I may have to again out at my house. We got them by the gobs out there. And they come on our top deck up there and they get into Gene's bird seed and whatever. And so I don't trap them with these kind of traps. I have a little cage trap. It doesn't hurt them, okay? It has a little door and I put a piece of bacon in it. And when they walk in there, it closes that door and they can't get out. It doesn't hurt them. They don't like it, but they get none hurt. And I'll take, and it's like a little handle on top. I can just take it like a suitcase and haul it over a couple of miles away and let them out. That is one of the cutest scenes you've ever seen. You have a little thing you pull up and that door just pops open. And when he goes out of there, he is a happy little critter. I have him run off as me half far away as this room here and turn around and look back. And then just take off again. They're happy. Free indeed. That's what Jesus does. Sets trapped sinners free from all that Satan has in mind to do to them, both now and forever. Only you and God know the answer to who you are. Not the image you want to portray, not your reputation, not your education, not nothing on this planet except who you are in here. You can change that with his help. You can't do it. You can't get out of that trap by yourself. You need his help. You'll never get out unless you have him. You get out on his terms. You get out because you put your trust in him. You say by both your life, your faith, and your spirit and personal disposition, Lord, I just need you. I need free. I need to walk on this planet a while with whatever time I've got left as a free man, freed from sin, freed from the trap, and able to go about serving you for what you've done for me. You want to be that person. Even if you don't know it yet, you want to be that person. You and God, walking together, free indeed, with all of the inheritance future that he talks about laying up there in the future for you. When we leave, before we leave this assembly today, there's a little girl here who, if things go the way I understand, she's going to take him up. She's going to be saying to Jesus right up here in front of us, I want to be free. I don't want Satan hanging on to me. I don't want to be trapped up by none of his junk. And if there's any gotten a hold of me, I want to go. And we're going to get to see that happen today. It could happen to you today. You can have your sins gone, the trap sprung free, walk out free indeed, and live the rest of your life like that, just delighted to walk it hand in hand with the shepherd who so wants you free. Want that? Come as we sing.